Are you one of millions of Americans who are struggling and even in some cases suffering from peripheral neuropathy, painful, numbness, loss of balance, irritating, and sometimes debilitating? Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Byline Broadcast, and I want to introduce you to Christy Steiger and Andrew Steiger of Innovative Wellness Center of Iowa. I tried so many ways, painkillers, ibuprofen, gabapentin, so many different ways. All it did was treat the symptoms. It did nothing that even remotely attempted to reverse the effects of peripheral neuropathy. Chiropractors, countless doctor's appointments, all to no avail. Until I found Innovative Wellness and pain-free, absolutely painless shockwave therapy. Call today. Get online today. InnovativeWellness.Center of Iowa.
They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Yeah, thank you very much and welcome into another edition of Real Golf Radio. I am Brian Taylor. He's Bob Casper. 25 years to be exact, and 20 years ago in 2004, Todd Hamilton shocked the world by holding off Ernie Els in a playoff and winning the Claret Jug, the Open Championship, his second PGA Tour win in his rookie season. And he's a good friend of Bob's, and we had a chance to visit with him. You talk about some of the moments that we've had in this show over 25 years, and that's one that stood out. And as luck would have it, we were able to commandeer that file of the interview we did the week after Todd won the Open Championship in 2004. We're going to play that for you coming up on the back nine, hour number two, along with America's favorite caddy. And Jeff Babineaux, veteran golf journalist, will join us coming up here in just a little bit to talk about the news this week, as well as look forward to next week's Open Championship at Troon. Of course, big story this week, Keegan Bradley announced as the Ryder Cup captain for the United States, and a lot of reaction to that. Just so happens that back on May 4th, I threw out the suggestion that maybe Keegan Bradley was the guy for the job. And at the time, Bob, you were a little bit surprised, said that was way out in left field. And I'll admit it was a left field pick. I think that's what I called it. But there was some reasoning behind why I said that, and we'll get into that coming up next. So I wasn't—I was surprised. Don't get me wrong, but not completely surprised.
Yeah, it's, you know, he fits the mold. He's played Ryder Cups before. He's a PGA Championship winner. But the thing he doesn't fit is he's never been a captain of anything or a vice captain of anything is pertaining to the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup. So, he even said that it came out of the blue to him. No pre-interview or anything like that. It was just, hey, you're the guy.
Yeah, Seth Waugh said his number was called. It's time to step up. And so he did. And he had to think about it for a little bit. We'll hear from Keegan, from his press conference. And look, if he was surprised, the rest of the golf world was surprised. But I'll tell you why back on May 4th, I suggested he should be considered, and why I think the PGA did consider him and ultimately selected him to be the Ryder Cup captain. We'll talk about that coming up. Rory's back playing again in Scotland in the Open Championship, 152nd edition, coming up next week, all right now on Real Golf Radio.
Have you noticed the hype around retinol lately? It's all over my social media. But did you know you can get retinol in a body wash? Amazing, right? Olay Retinol Body Wash is packed with moisturizing vitamin B3 complex plus retinol to transform dry skin to visibly renewed in just 14 days. Try it the next time you shower and see the difference for yourself with Olay Retinol Body Wash for visibly renewed skin in just 14 days. And try Olay Retinol 24 Body Lotion.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Eh, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now, that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This is it. Shop the Lowe's closeout event to get up to 70% off select major appliances for your home. Plus, get up to 60% off select patio furniture and accessories for your outdoor spaces. So hurry into your local store today, because these deals are too good to last. Shop them now before they're gone, because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 8/7 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
I don't think I'll ever be more surprised with anything in my entire life. I had no idea, and it took a while for it to sink in. I wasn't fully comfortable with some of the people that were passed over. I have a lot of respect for the people that came before me and people that deserve to be in this position. So that was a heavy thought and moment.
That was Keegan Bradley at his press conference in New York when he was announced as the 31st, I believe, Ryder Cup captain, and will captain Team USA next year at Bethpage Black in an effort to try to regain the Ryder Cup. Welcome back to the show, Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. So good to be with you. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people talking about the surprise that is. Keegan was surprised. The golf world was surprised. Back on May 4th, in our show, we were talking about if Tiger's not going to take the captaincy, you know, who's it going to be? And this is how that conversation went. If he doesn't end up taking the Ryder Cup captain in New York, who's it going to be? Like, who?
I think the logical one right now, the logical one who hasn't done it yet is Fred Couples. He's done President's Cups. He has not done Ryder Cups yet. And he has been vice captain many, many times. So I think he would be the logical one.
He'd be an easy plug and play because he's been in the system. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
That said, I mean, here's my left field one. Okay. I'm starting to think of guys, East Coast guys. How about Keegan Bradley?
Yeah.
Like, does anyone love the Ryder Cup more than Keegan Bradley? And he would anyone spend more time? You know, I know he's Boston. It's not New York. I know he's Boston, but man, I think he would just do a great job.
He's never been in the mix as far as vice captains or anything. So he'd have to kind of be led along. He'd have to get the correct support team around him to help him. But he is, what he has going for him is he has won a PGA championship.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what the PGA of America likes.
That's right. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there as a little bit of a outlier. Why not Keegan Bradley? I think it'd be cool. I mean, the guy's got passion. And we need some freaking passion. I mean, if you don't have passion in New York, I mean, what are you even doing? All right, so that was the conversation, Bob, back on May 4th. I even caught you a little bit by surprise. Let me just tell you why I did that. Because as we were trying to say, okay, if not Tiger, then who? I sat down and I went through who are the potentials. And you had to throw out Phil Mickelson. You know, Tiger obviously was, you know, he was the one we were deciding around. And then you start looking at Ryder Cup players that were old enough that weren't necessarily in the mix, but that had some experience, right? So you start going through, you look at their records, and it was kind of guys like Stuart Sink. That was kind of it. You know, then there was the outliers of maybe bring back a Paul Azinger. You mentioned Fred Couples, I think would do a great job. Yeah. And, but when you're going down the list, I'm like, who are the players going to rally around? Who's going to have the passion? And then I also started thinking regionally, you know, of how certain, you know, team captains have, certain team captains have used the regional factor to inspire, you know, people. I think of Darren Clark in Ireland and, you know, things like that, right? So I thought, who's the East Coast guy? Well, there you go, East Coast. Again, Boston, not New York, but Keegan Bradley. And he was passed over, and I was at the point, even though he's 19th in the world, I wasn't sure he would make the team on points. And so why not take a guy that's got that passion? He's East Coast. He could be a leader. He would, you know, he would go all in and put 100% into it. And so that's why I threw that out there. I, honestly, people are saying this is out of the box. The box was pretty small. Like there's, I know he's talking about others that were passed by, but to be honest with you, I don't know that there really was that many players that were, or that were passed by. This is a prestigious thing. I get that. Very prestigious. He joins the ranks of some of the legends in the game of golf. Is Keegan Bradley a legend? Not really, but something had to get shaken up, if you will. The task force shook things up 10+ years ago. Looks like we're doing another shakeup again, and that's why I thought Keegan would do a great job. Now, so that was my reasoning. That's the thought process I went down. I kind of didn't really even see anybody but Keegan Bradley, to be honest with you, of who I would choose if it was not going to be Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson.
Well, and it's like I said in that little clip, I think the only other guy, and maybe that, you know, Keegan said he was the guys that were passed over, I think the only other guy might have been Fred Couples. You know, likable guy, the players love him. He's got great opinions, great thoughts, you know, played on President's Cups and Ryder Cup teams, had also vice captains, captainships, on the President's Cup and that kind of thing. So, but to throw Keegan Bradley into the mix, a Northeastern guy in a Northeastern setting with, Bethpage Black and an American, predominantly American and New York crowd. I think it's a phenomenal pick. Keegan Bradley, as you've said, he's played 2 Ryder Cups in 12 and 14. He's got a 4-3 record. And then in 13, he played the President's Cup and he was a 2-2-1. So he does have a winning record in his team competitions. Also a PGA Championship winner, and a guy that is passionate about team play, passionate about playing the game of golf, and passionate about the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. So, yeah, just I think a great pick.
So one of the things that I think we have to establish before we can have a further conversation about this is this. How important or how vital or how much of a factor is the captain and his role in the winning and losing of a Ryder Cup?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Because I think you could sit and say, if you get the, do you think there's a, what are the odds that the U.S. team wins in New York?
I think they're probably, when you look at how it's gone recently, it's just home team advantage. And I would say probably
90% plus.
Yeah, I was going to say 75-25, but I think it's higher than that probably.
I do. I like think it's said. Probably 90%. Yeah. So, look, Keegan Bradley's going to go out there, his team's going to win, and he's going to look great. Zach Johnson went over to Italy. They got smacked. Guess what? In 2 years from now, the U.S. team, it has been 30 years since the U.S. has won on the road. 30.
Yep.
So it's not like this is something that happens every day. You know, when we saw what the U.S. team did at Whistling Straits and the fact that the European team looked old, it looked like the U.S. was going to go to Italy and win. And it was quite the opposite.
Yeah, U.S. team's got a lot of youth, too, now. Or not U.S. team, the the European team has a lot of youth now.
So look how quickly that flipped. In 2 years, that flipped.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was all about the young guns of the U.S. team against the old guard and the changing of the guard on the European team. Now it feels like it's literally feels that like it's opposite again 4 years later.
Yeah. Kind of sitting on our laurels again, and you need to, it needs to be shaken up again. Yep.
So if the captain, and I'll cite some examples, Hal Sutton throwing Tiger and Phil together because he wanted to be that guy with his big cowboy hat on. I think that was a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. I think Davis sitting down, Keegan and Phil at Medina when they were 100%. Rolling was a big mistake. Changed the momentum, right?
Yep.
So I think, and then you also look at front loading the U.S. team in 99 and Ben Crenshaw and what he did to help inspire that comeback. That was a critical momentum swing. So there are ways that captains do affect. So I think if we establish that captains are important, then we can continue the conversation of why or why not will Keegan be successful. We'll do that next here on Real Golf Radio.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99 and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. It's brought to you in part by BlackDesertResort.com. Go to BlackDesertResort.com to find out about all the details of this great new full golf resort destination in southern Utah, blackdesertresort.com, where you can sign up and book tee times at the new Tom Weisskopf Championship Design, which will host the PGA Tour coming up this fall and the LPGA Tour beginning in spring of 25. You can also find out about exclusive real estate opportunities available there. And for more on the tour event, go to blackdesertevents.com, where there are hospitality, sponsorship opportunities, pro-am spots, general admission tickets coming soon, all of that available by going to blackdesertevents.com. And we appreciate their sponsorship. Very much looking forward to the PGA Tour returning to Utah for the first time in 60 years at the all-new Black Desert Resort, which is going to be phenomenal. I was just down there this week with a couple from Oklahoma City, and they were beside themselves. Let me tell you something. Yes, it was 108 when we finished. Okay. It was 101 when we made the turn. It was pleasant. And these folks from Oklahoma City were saying, look, this is still very, like, this is still great.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have all that humidity. And so, you remember when we went to Oklahoma City and played? In fact, they were members at Galardia, where we played in that event that we went
Interesting.
To.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so you remember, we were, that was in June, and we were sweating our guts out.
Yep, that's right.
And then for some strange reason, and that weekend, we had to put beanies on for the finish of the PGA Championship. That was a wild turn of events there at Southern Hills. But nevertheless, it's year-round, great weather, terrific golf course, and something that's going to be awesome to see in October when the PGA Tour comes to town. blackdesertresort.com, blackdesertevents.com. Here's more from Keegan Bradley.
No, I will either make the team on points. I don't see myself picking. I'm not going to pick myself. The only way that would happen is if the team was insisting on it. But even if they did, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, Keegan's looking at making the team on points, or he's going to be the captain.
So my question is, and I'm going to throw this out there, if he were to be like the sixth guy and make it on points, does he decide that he's going to play, or is he going to, knowing, well, and I don't know if he necessarily knows that, but his constraints with being a captain, would he give that up and let the next guy move up? Paul McGinley had some great thoughts about it on the Golf Channel, where he was just smiling and saying that the European team would relish him being a playing captain. So I don't know. Does he still play, or does he just focus on being the captain?
It's a very good question, and it's a hypothetical at this point. If I was a betting man, I would bet on Keegan not making the top six.
Yeah.
And so it won't even be a point of discussion. I think with given the amount of time and energy required to be the captain, I'm not sure you could be a good playing captain. Are we going back to Arnold Palmer as the last U.S. Ryder Cup playing captain? Is that right?
Yeah.
Tiger Woods did it as a President's Cup captain a few years ago in Royal Melbourne. Mm-hmm. So that's the most recent. But we're talking Arnold Palmer and Tiger Woods. Keegan Bradley's neither of those two players, right? And that's not a disrespect. He would agree with that. So I don't think he gives it up, Bob. I mean, let me ask you this. Given the opportunity, would you rather be a captain's pick and play two or three matches, or be the captain for the whole event?
I think probably the captain.
Yeah. He's played twice. Yeah. Well, if he gave it up, would he get a nod to do it again? Probably not. So this is your shot, man. Take it. Enjoy it. Relish it. Do something with it. Make history. Now,
wait a second. I think the difference in today's President's Cup captaincy role, I think it's totally different than when Arnold played.
Sure.
And so my opinion is that I would much rather see him be the captain and put the guys in the correct positions to be able to and make the correct picks and not worry about himself being ready to play as a participant.
I agree with you. Don't split time, man.
Don't split time.
100% on your role.
One or the other.
And if you're full team, then that's what it is. You know, there's everybody has their role. There's the captain's role. There's the player's role.
Yep.
And trying 100%. To do both, knowing how much he loves it and how passionate he is, You know, we'll see where we're at in a few months, but I believe there are six players that are going to be in better form and ready to go than Keegan Bradley.
Yeah,
and he's right. Don't pick himself.
Yeah, and what Keegan said is he wants hot players coming in. He wants the best players coming in. He wants guys that are at the top of their game coming into the Ryder Cup. And I think the guys he's going to pick are not the good old boys or the guys that have been on there for the last little while. It's going to be, I think we're going to see some really new young blood, and we're going to see some guys that are really going to be fired up and excited to play, and not only because of that, but because they're playing well.
So let's address that, right? We're talking about what will make Keegan successful. If we determined in segment one that the captain does make a difference, that decisions that he makes around captain's picks, obviously picking the players is big. Also, the order in which they go out, understanding momentum swings, understanding some matchups, understanding who plays well on this golf course. So would you, and again, your dad, Billy Casper, a successful Ryder Cup captain in 1979, the highest point earner in U.S. Ryder Cup history. So your dad, and this is obviously is a Hall of Famer and one of the superstars of the game. It runs in your family. It runs in your blood. Would you look at the best players, regardless of how their game may or may not fit Bethpage? Or do you look at something that might be a good pairing for one of the guys that whose game would fit ideally with Bethpage, even if he wasn't as hot as, say, another guy whose game might not fit Bethpage as well?
Well, I don't think you want to just put a guy in because his game fits good. Then he becomes an anchor, so to speak, against with a guy that he's going to be paired with in foursomes or four balls. I think still that you pair guys depending on what you're doing foursome and four balls. These guys all play together. They're relatively good friends, if not really good friends. And the guy that, even though you may think on paper that his game does not fit, if he's playing well and he's hot at the time, it's not going to matter.
All right.
It's not going to matter if you think his game's not doesn't fit well with the course.
I can tell you that there are guys at my club that are better players than my season-long partner that I may not play as well with in the team competition because I don't have that same rapport. Now, I'm an amateur golfer at the club level, non-competitive, right? These guys are professional golfers. That's what they do. To answer my own question, I don't know. I think I'm with you. I think you take the hot player. But we've even seen it at the highest level of other sports where if you put all-stars, you can't have five LeBrons on a team that would be the best. That wouldn't be the best basketball team. You know, maybe you could argue that. That's an interesting topic. But typically, I say that, and then I'm like, well, if I could have five MJs against five other guys, I'd probably take five MJs, right? So there you go. No, maybe I'm discrediting that. But I do think there's a team component where someone's got to pass the basketball in order to set up the guy that's going to score the basketball. That typically is the case. How does that translate to golf? I don't know. It seems like maybe there's a little bit of that. There's got to be a glue guy. It seems like the Europeans always have their glue guys.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
And Ian Poulter has been that glue guy. Sergio has been that glue guy. I don't know that they're always in the best form, but it's an interesting conversation. Jeff Babineau is going to join us next. We'll continue this with him right here on Real Golf Radio.
Hear that? That's the sound of 1.5% cash back on every purchase you make with the Agility Cash Visa credit card from Zions Bank. Whether at the grocery store, the dog groomer, or your favorite bistro, the Agility Cash card gives you 1.5% cash back every time, everywhere.
For the car that pays, Zions Bank is for you. Apply today at zionsbank.com/agility. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See a banker for details. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, N.A., member FDIC.
By now, you've heard about Black Desert Resort in St. George. You've seen the picturesque photos of the Tom Weisskopf Design Championship Golf Course. You've heard that the PGA and LPGA tours are coming to Black Desert. You've probably heard there's going to be a water park and other things. You've heard right. But did you know that you can own a piece of Black Desert Resort? Go to blackdesertresort.com and sign up to learn about exclusive real estate opportunities available right now. The interest and demand has been enormous, and phase one is nearly sold out. As an owner, you'll enjoy discounted and priority tea times, discounts on spa treatments, dining, shopping, and more. And when you're not staying at Black Desert, you can put your unit in the resort rental program, which will provide rental income for you. Year-round family fun awaits at Black Desert Resort. Don't miss out. Sign up today to learn more at blackdesertresort.com. That's blackdesertresort.com. Black Desert Resort, unlike anything you've experienced before.
This is the new AI One, the most intelligent putter ever created. Its AI-designed insert doesn't just feel a little better or roll a little better. It gets you up to 21% closer to the hole on off-center hits. The performance gains of AI One are so dramatic, not playing it will leave you lagging behind. Putt smarter with the new AI One putters from Odyssey, the number one putter on tour.
You've heard us talk about the amazing capabilities of Mountainland Truck Outfitters to outfit your truck, van, or commercial vehicle. But did you know that Mountainland Truck Outfitters now has a mobile sandblasting system that they can bring on site to you or your business? And Mountainland Truck Outfitters now has an exclusive powder coating shop offering virtually any color you want. See Mountainland Truck Outfitters in Provo to custom outfit your truck with lifts, leveling kits, spray-in bed liners, commercial truck bodies, wheels, tires, powder coating, sandblasting, lighting, hitches, and other accessories. Go to mountainlandtruck.com. That's MTNLNDtruck.com.
To beat the best, or to beat your best, it takes a standard most aren't used to. Like perfecting our seamless aero design for ultra-consistent flight, innovating new processes to create a hyper-fast soft core, using advanced materials to make a ball feel like nothing before. When your standards for performance are high, play the ball that sets them even higher. Introducing Chrome Tour, the new gold standard.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, and our good friend Jeff Babineau joining us here as we look forward to next week's Open Championship, final major of the year for the guys, and obviously a huge news week as well. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good, thanks.
Before we get to Open Championship stuff, obviously we've all been waiting for an announcement on the Ryder Cup captain for the U.S. team, and we got one this week, and everybody was floored. I was even floored, even though I kind of sort of back in May 4th suggested that Keegan would be a good pick. I still threw it out there as a long shot for sure. I'm just guessing, what was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, I mean, a little surprised. I mean, obviously, that's the word everyone uses, right? Surprised. But, I mean, I think the PGA was in a bit of a tough spot because, you know, this years ago when this was announced, this was always going to be Phil's Ryder Cup, and that blew up. And it was going to be Tiger's Ryder Cup, and he really doesn't have time right now. So, you know, everyone's thinking, well, this is pretty outside the box. Well, the box left us a long time ago, so... the more I think about it, the more I, you know, sat down and really thought about Keegan Bradley as the U.S. leader. I like it. So, I'm certainly on board with it.
So, coming from the Northeast, kind of up in your neck of the woods, so to speak, there's a lot of pluses that go along with having him as a Ryder Cup captain, especially up in that part of the country.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he went to school in New York at St. John's, and he's from Vermont. He's not, you know, he wears Red Sox caps, and they wear Yankees hats at this place. But yeah, there's a lot of connection there. He talks about when he goes there, he feels a connection like he doesn't at any other place, really. So That'll be big. And, you know, this is the one place where you didn't need Tiger Woods as a captain here. You're not going to sell one more ticket to the Ryder Cup because Tiger Woods is your captain. So it was always going to be, whether it be Stewart Cink, I heard Lucas Glover, you know, talked about as a candidate. He has success, won a U.S. Open at Bethpage. Whoever you're going to tab, it's not going to change ticket sales, and it won't change how this crowd should be in the U.S. corner. So it's a huge home game for the U.S., and you know, as we've seen in the Ryder Cup, the home team has been the one to beat.
Jeff Babineau joining us. Here's the question I think that we have to at least address, is how impactful, if at all, right? I realize what I'm saying here, but how impactful, if at all, is a captain in the outcome of a Ryder Cup?
Yeah, right. I mean, the captain never hits a shot and carries a lot of the... I don't like the way the Ryder Cup has evolved in one sense, in that it's a huge finger-pointing exercise now, right? Who's going to be the GOAT? Who's the losing captain? I mean, it's only two teams, and one of them's going to lose, unless you tie, right? So it's kind of a tough... You get all the glory, probably way too much credit when you win, and way too much blame when you don't, because you don't hit a shot. And you just try to set these guys up in the best position to have success. And I'd be curious if Keegan Bradley, the captain, would have sent Keegan Bradley, the player, out on Saturday afternoon in Medina when the U.S. could have buried Europe, and Phil and Keegan, you know, decided to take the afternoon off to stay pushed for Sunday, and we end up losing in the singles. So, you know, you make some decisions. To me, a captain's job is to get the team to Sunday. Then you're playing individual golf, singles matches, and it's up to the players to perform.
So, sorry, real quick, Bob, because Bob's dad was a Ryder Cup captain. I have a lot of respect for what Ryder Cup captains have done, and a lot of it is earned through their play and then obviously how they conduct themselves. I would suggest to the very thing that you just said, Keegan absolutely would have gone out, and you were there, we were there, and the U.S. had them down on the ground at Medina, and nobody could touch Keegan and Phil, and all of a sudden they sit out to rest for the next day. And when Ian Poulter dropped that putt and started double fist pumping, it was as if he put life back into that team and set the stage for the comeback on Sunday. That probably, and again, hindsight 2020, armchair quarterback, whatever, that probably doesn't happen if you run that team back. And then it sort of almost doesn't matter if they're tired on Sunday for singles, but it did matter kind of the way that momentum flipped. So those are some things where I look at it and say, maybe that those little tiny things could be credited to or against a captain and how he handles things.
Well, I agree. I mean, those. If you remember, everyone talks about Europe coming back from a 4-point deficit. They actually were down 10-4 on Saturday. And Keegan and Phil, when they decided not to go back out after a romp in the early day matches, it's little swings of momentum, right? I mean, that's a positive thing for the Europe team to build on, is that, hey, these guys are so confident. They're sitting two of their horses on Saturday afternoon, and they think they have this thing in the bag. And they obviously didn't. And Poulter basically propped that whole team up until they got to Sunday. And then guys started playing and took over. And momentum swings so fast in that tournament. That tournament is all about momentum. So it's little things. And, that was one that the U.S. definitely let get away.
You know, as Brian was saying, my dad was a captain. He also played on numerous Ryder Cup teams and the top point earner for the U.S. side ever. But his feeling was when he qualified for Ryder Cups, you qualified on points only. You never had any captain's picks or anything. And his feeling was that you wanted the guys going into the Ryder Cup that were playing the best, always. And so to have six that make it off points and six to make it as captain's picks, you're thinking about, the good old boys clubs in the last, 10 Ryder Cups and stuff like that. And that's one of the things that Keegan Bradley says that he's not going to focus on mostly. Is the good old boys clubs. He wants the guys that are playing the best coming and being picked in the Ryder Cup. Your thoughts on his comments regarding that?
Yeah, I mean, well, that was a big part of Azinger's captaincy in 08, right? He wanted the hottest guys. You got guys, a lot of times these Ryder Cup teams would be built of guys who kind of earned it in the year previous, so you didn't get the hottest guys. And Azinger wanted hotter guys. That's why, he went with more picks. And that certainly worked there. I always contend he beat a team, you know, that was captained poorly with Nick Faldo. And there's a pretty young team, you know, with young, you know, Justin Rose and Poulter played very well at Valhalla. Those guys are just kind of cutting their teeth, GMAC, things like that. But, you know, to your point, you do want hotter guys. So that's kind of how they've rigged the system. Now, Keegan the other day said he would prefer probably 4 picks over the 6. So you can always take the 7 and 8 guys in the standings and know that in your head, that those guys are going to make it. And frankly, you did get a good old boys kind of called last year, but no one in the end, even Keegan would tell you, he didn't really stand up and do anything worth note toward the end to say, you know, you have to pick that guy. There was nobody left off that team that you had to pick. And a lot of guys would have taken Justin Thomas. I didn't have a problem with that. He performed fine. And, you know, it was a bit of a reach given his form, but that's part of your deal as the captain. I mean, you assemble the team that's going to try to take home the cup. So I think Keegan is a stand-up guy, and I think he'll make the hard decisions. And I think overall he's going to be a really good pick. He's close in age to the players, and I think that helps as well.
Jeff Babineau joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Well, one last thing on this before we get some thoughts on the Open. You know, it's interesting because Well, we go back to the Tom Watson captaincy, right? And it was, you know, Phil Mickelson kind of blew that thing up and they created this task force, which led to this committee. And the whole idea was we need more player input. We need this to be more about the players and helping us to be more normal and not have this be a unique event and that sort of thing. And so it seemed like that was the direction it was going. And then we also needed to look at what Europe was doing in their system of bringing assistant captains along. So that went for a while. And then, you know, you lose a cup on the road and Tiger can't make it and you blow the thing up and go outside the box and pick Keegan Bradley. So I guess my question or my the thought that's been reverberating all week for me is, which one is it? Is it the continuity and the buddy system, or is it the we need some passion and leadership, you know, and it's about what the captain says? I don't know. I sometimes don't know if anyone really knows how to figure this thing out, except the Europeans.
I mean, I think it's a little bit of a perfect storm. Like we said, you didn't have Phil, you didn't have Tiger. So where are you going to go? The Liv guys, they've kind of built their own bed, right? And but Keegan was very adamant that he's not opposed to having Liv guys on his team. He wants the 12 best players. But, yeah, it was definitely a departure. You know, one thing, the task force, I think if they were to win in New York, since the task force, I'm guessing the U.S. is probably about 500, right? You know, you win at home, you lose on the road. But, you know, it was a departure. The one thing they weren't doing was integrating younger guys into assistant captains and getting a taste of it. You know, this will be a first go for Keegan. Webb Simpson got a little bit of a taste of it. Kuchar got a little bit of a taste of it. But for the most part, you were kind of going back to the same deck of cards every time at the Ryder Cup. So the same guys. And honestly, that caused a lot of U.S. losses over the years is the fact that you went there with the same guys, and for whatever reason, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Jim Furyk, who were your linchpins, they were not good Ryder Cup players. They all have poor Ryder Cup records, and it's shocking. And to take those guys down was a big lift. It's kind of a double-edged thing. It's a huge lift for Europe when you're taking those guys down. And that's the cycle we got mired into. So, you know, that just happened over and over and over. I mean, Tiger Woods has been on one winning Ryder Cup team, and it basically took a miracle on Sunday to do that. So it just wasn't his thing. And there are so many European guys that it is their thing. You know, Sergio and Monty and Rose has been a great Ryder Cupper. I mean, they have some great Ryder Cup players. So it's just a the whole event. It makes you shake your head and wonder how it happens. It all adds up to an unbelievable competition every other year.
Do you think Bradley's going to be an assistant captain with the President's Cup to kind of give him a little bit of training, a little, so to speak?
I think it would be a good move just to show him the pace of it. It's a little different that they have an extra day in there.
Sure.
The Ryder Cup goes, you know, Friday to Sunday. But I think, you know, it'd be a nice move by Furyk to do that. I think he has room for a couple assistants. And why wouldn't you? If you're looking for the good of the U.S. team, why wouldn't you get Bradley in there to just get some reps in and look at it and get a feel for it, you know, as opposed to going in totally cold at Bethpage in a couple of years or next year.
Jeff Babineau is our guest here on Real Golf Radio. So the Open Championship's coming up next week. Royal Troon. You know, you look back, and I was reading the Daily Drive, and they put an article about the American dominance. And, you know, outside of Stenson, outdueling Mickelson, which, by the way, was one of the more entertaining Open Championships back in 2016. You go back, Todd Hamilton, Justin Leonard, Mark Calcavecchia, Tom Watson, Tom Weisskopf, Arnold Palmer back into 62, and then it's Bobby Locke in 1950. So, you know, you've got non-Americans, you know, winning, bookending from 1950 and then 2016. The rest of them at Troon have all been U.S., and then you got six straight wins now in majors by Americans. What's your thoughts about the Americans, and why maybe they do so well at Royal Troon?
You know, I heard somebody take on that point, talking about the U.S. women the other day. You know, you had that gap. After Stacey Lewis in 2014, you didn't have another American as number one until Nelly Korda came along. And same on the U.S. side. I mean, we moan about the fact that there's a lack of, you know, U.S. dominance in the world ranking when it's not there. And when it is there, you just kind of take it for granted and go on, right? But it's a global game, and it's not a given that the U.S. should be on top of those rankings. But right now, it's pretty top-heavy on the U.S. side. It's pretty impressive. And as you say, there's been a great run of Americans at Troon. I really like Troon. It's kind of a rugged track. You know, it's the traditional, you head out, you head back in. And, you know, you might go out for nine holes downwind and back into it. And I just think it's a rugged track. We got a great shootout. You know, there's little defense at those golf courses when the wind's not blowing. And Phil and Henrik, if you remember, they really separated themselves. I mean, who was in third place was J.B. Holmes was 14 shots back of the winning score in third
place. That's amazing.
It's amazing. And you only have a handful. You know, I can remember DeMarco and Tiger doing that at the Masters when they played off one year. They were seven clear of the next guy. And sometimes you just have those runaways. And those guys were incredible. I mean, Phil was throwing it at Henrik, and Henrik had an answer every time. And,
yeah,
you know, shot a real low one on Sunday. So I don't know why it you know, that was a great place for the Americans in the 60s when Arnie kind of got the American presence going again at that championship. And the Americans really took to that layout and that golf course and that challenge. I really don't know why, but as you say, it's been a great run for the U.S. side and just across the board, winning all these majors. It's pretty amazing, really. We kind of take it for granted.
So having said that, what are your feelings about those guys or any of the guys that are in the mix for this next week, and who do you think is going to play really well?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. If you remember last time, one guy who kind of snuck in, played good on Sunday, and got himself a top five was Rory. So Rory's got a little experience there. But, you know, to me, until you prove otherwise, I mean, you tee it up anywhere, and Scheffler's your guy to chase. He's going to set the tone and what he does. And over there, you know, it can be anything can take you on a side. It can be a draw, you know, the change of the wind, the weather coming in. More so than any other tournament, the draw can be a huge deal there. And but, you know, I like the guys up top. Why wouldn't you go with some chalk there? You know, Xander playing so well and finally getting his major, and some of these other guys, Bryson, who knows what Bryson's going to do over there, right? So it's interesting. I watched Thomas Dietrich getting into the Scottish Open, and dialing shots down and how he did that. And I think guys kind of have to change your game a little going over there. So it's just interesting. I think it inspires people. It makes you a little creative how you got to get around those tracks. And I think the Americans do it well.
Hey, Jeff, a little nugget. I was looking at my notes from last year's preview of the Open, and I was talking about players that have, you know, won multiple claret jugs. And it's pretty interesting. Since Faldo won his third in 1992, only four players have won multiple claret jugs. Norman got his second in 93. Tiger reeled off three from 2000 to 2006. Ernie Els had a couple between 2002 and 12. And Harrington got back-to-back in 07, 08. That's the last time there was a repeat Open champion, 2008, which is pretty surprising. I mean, it's not unusual to get it at the Masters or, you know, maybe even some, you know, the U.S. Open or PGA, but that seems like a bit of a drought from a past holder of the claret jug to raise it again.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, you know, Tiger did. It took Tiger a while, but I think Tiger got his slam, right, at 2000 at St. Andrews. Those venues are so different. I mean, you obviously go to different places for a U.S. Open or a PGA, but I don't know how different they are, right? Those places seem to be hugely different. It's just, you know, different characteristics and different, just the persona they take on some of these places. And, you know, Todd Hamilton beat a couple of giants. Todd Hamilton beat Phil and Ernie there. So,
yeah,
it's interesting. So for to be a repeat winner, you got to do it on two very different tracks, possibly, you know, one in England, one in Scotland. So it's a little different trying to chase down a couple in a row. It'd be a tall task for Brian Harman, I think, but, you know, he was dominant a year ago. But I mean, it's just fun to watch that tournament, right? It's just, I love it. I almost don't like the fact it's the last major now. It used to be kind of in the middle there and kind of, you still had some life on the other side of it, but I don't like that it wraps us up in the major season, but it's a great place to do it if you do.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Babs, we appreciate it, man. It's always fun to talk golf with you, and yeah, we'll be, Eastern time's a little easier. Mountain time, we're a couple hours behind you, so it's an early morning next week for us to get up and watch coverage, but it's just something we get. Breakfast in the British Open, yeah. Let's go.
Hey, man, you know, get the headphones in, get on the rowing machine. For a few hundred miles.
There we go. That's it. Well, we appreciate it. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's Jeff Babineau joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. Just always enjoy talking golf with him. Hope you enjoyed that as well. Open Championship coming up next week. Stay tuned. The back nine, hour number two, straight ahead.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home.
We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Sports Byline USA News. I'm Alex Dorfler.
And I'm Ben Murphy.
White Sox pitcher Michael Kopech pitches the first White Sox immaculate inning since 1923, when Sloppy Thurston threw the fifth immaculate inning in MLB history. Kopech, the right-handed flamethrower, struck out the Twins 6, 7, and 8 batters in 9 pitches to secure the save in the ninth inning. Kopech had started his career as a starter, but this season has been converted to a closer and has seen success. The 2024 Home Run Derby roster has been announced. The 8-man derby will contain Mets first baseman Pete Alonso, Phillies third baseman Alec Bohm, Dodgers outfielder Teoscar Hernandez, Marcelo Ozuna from the Braves, Rangers outfielder Adolis Garcia, Orioles shortstop Gunnar Henderson, Guardians third baseman Jose Ramirez, and Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. Pete Alonso is the favorite to win the Derby at plus 300 odds. Alonso has won the Derby twice before, once in 2019 and a second in 2021.
The stage is set in the Copa America tournament as Colombia defeated Uruguay on Wednesday night 1-0 to advance to the finals. Colombia will face off against Argentina Sunday night as Argentina looks to win their 16th Copa America tournament, which would give them the most wins ever in the tournament's history. Argentina is currently minus 165 to win the Copa tournament, with Colombia sitting at plus 350. The Euro 2024 final will officially be Spain vs. England after England scored a go-ahead goal in the 90th minute to help them advance to the final round. On the other hand, Spain looks to win their fourth Euro tournament, which would be the most ever. Spain is currently minus 155 to win the tournament, with England at plus 120.
This is Sports in 60. I'm Marty Terrell on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Well, we told everyone that contributes to Sports Overnight America and Sports Weekend, the football season is well underway. And you say, wait, hold the phone. No, the games haven't started yet, but camps will soon be opening up to NFL players, college football players working out and practicing on their own. The football season right around the corner. And here at Sports Byline and Sports Overnight, we're ramping up with new contributors. Brock Hines is going to join us. Media Matters, NFL, college football, and the world of sports in detail. Soccer-wise, join us on Saturday nights for the First Touch with Tyler Levine, an outstanding soccer commentator and sports talk show host. Football season's here. European Premier League will ramp up in September. Stay with us right here. Sports in 60 on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by American Premium Vodka.
The U.S. soccer national team has announced that they are cutting ties with coach Greg Berhalter after failing to qualify for the Copa America 2024 tournament. Berhalter served as a U.S. coach from 2018 to his contract expiration in 2022 and was rehired in 2023 until the 2026 World Cup. Berhalter was let go just 10 months into his second contract.
After leaving the Patriots, the six-time Super Bowl-winning coach Bill Belichick takes a new job as a host of Inside the NFL. Belichick will host alongside Pro Bowl safety Ryan Clark, Pro Bowl wide receiver Chad Johnson and former defensive end Chris Long. Belichick will also appear weekly on the Pat McAfee Show and will also do analysis for the Manning Cast.
The Tennessee Titans signed free agent safety Jamal Adams on Thursday morning. The 28-year-old signed a one-year contract with the Titans after spending his last 4 years with the Seattle Seahawks. After adding Super Bowl-winning cornerback Legarius Sneed and now Jamal Adams, the Titans look to bolster their secondary that ranks 17th in 2023.
Angel Reese, who last week broke Candace Parker's double-double streak of 12 consecutive games, extends her record to 14 consecutive games. Camila Cardoso, Chicago Sky's other rookie sensation, recorded a double-double in the same game, making WNBA history with a record of rookie duos recording double-doubles in three games. Today in sports history. In 1900, Charlotte Cooper becomes the first ever female Olympic champion in any event. Cooper from England was a dominant tennis force from the 19th century through the early 20th century. Cooper had also won five singles titles at Wimbledon, which was a record that stood for nearly a century. In 1934, Babe Ruth hits his 700th career home run. He would hit his 700th bomb against the Tigers, which was very characteristic of him, as he had hit more home runs against the Tigers than any other team. Ruth would be the lone member of the 700 home run club until 1973, when Hank Aaron would join him. Have a good day.
And remember, you're listening to Sports Byline USA News. I'm Ben Murphy.
And I'm Alex Dorfler.
Are you one of millions of Americans who are struggling and even in some cases suffering from peripheral neuropathy, painful, numbness, loss of balance, irritating, and sometimes debilitating? Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Byline Broadcast, and I want to introduce you to Christy Steiger and Andrew Steiger of Innovative Wellness Center of Iowa. I tried so many ways, painkillers, ibuprofen, gabapentin, so many different ways. All it did was treat the symptoms. It did nothing that even remotely attempted to reverse the effects of peripheral neuropathy. Chiropractors, countless doctor's appointments, all to no avail. Until I found Innovative Wellness and pain-free, absolutely painless shockwave therapy. Call today. Get online today. InnovativeWellness.center of Iowa.
Well, we have nine more holes to go, so how about you two fellas follow me to the 10th tee?
On to the back nine, hour number two of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper.
Two players down the middle on the 10th hole.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Well, thank you very much and welcome in. It is the back nine, hour number two of Real Golf Radio. I'm Brian Taylor. He's Bob Casper. We're talking Open Championship coming up next week. We're also talking about Keegan Bradley, the next U.S. Ryder Cup captain.
Mm-hmm.
What a news week, huh? Woo!
Crazy. A little bit overshadowing with the Scottish Open this week and the Open Championship next week. But the other thing I was going to say about Keegan Bradley, I will guarantee you he will reach out to all the winning Ryder Cup captains from Paul Azinger down, and he will glean everything that he needs to do to get the guys in the right positions and to get the right team put together.
Yeah, I believe that as well. And why wouldn't you, you know?
Why
I mean, you? Yeah. This is your shot. Look what Zach Johnson's gone through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and by the way, yeah. Heads up. I mean, great job, Keegan Bradley, for you know, just – you know, offering your respect and everything like that to Zach Johnson, yeah. You know, despite yeah. getting left off that team and whatnot. But this
How about
is
Zach was the one who told him.
Yeah. I think he wanted to,
after he dropped the bomb on him when he couldn't play the last time.
Yeah. I think he wanted to make up for that a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
But
hey, sorry about this one, but I got one better for you.
Yeah. I'm going to one up you. Hopefully this will make up a little bit for the last yeah. one, but like, this is your shot. You want to exhaust all your efforts. That's why I don't think he makes the top six, because he's going to exhaust yeah. all these efforts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can cement yourself. I mean, nobody can take anything away. Dave Stockton, you know, he was right on the edge, the war at the shore. You know, it came down mm-hmm. to a missed putt. And as it turns out, Dave Stockton, you know, can forever be a winning Ryder Cup captain. You know, I don't think Tom yep. Lehman, I'm not sure how much Tom Lehman looks back on his captaincy with affinity. Like, I don't think he's real excited to think back on that. It was probably awful, you know? Yeah. Jim Furyk, I don't think he probably loves looking back on that, you know, and having to get blasted by Patrick Reed and all that stuff. I mean, it is probably, as Jeff Babineau said, a little too much credit given and a little too much blame given, you know, depending on how things turn out. So,
pointing fingers, too much.
Man.
No doubt.
Man. Yeah, interesting stuff. Hey, we're gonna throw it back a little Open Championship edition. This is year 25 of Real Golf Radio. Well, we reached into the archives. 20 years ago, we interviewed Todd Hamilton following his Open Championship win at Troon in 2004. That's going to come up on the back nine, as well as America's favorite caddy. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed the hype around retinol lately? It's all over my social media. But did you know you can get retinol in a body wash? Amazing, right? Olay Retinol Body Wash is packed with moisturizing vitamin B3 complex plus retinol to transform dry skin to visibly renewed in just 14 days. Try it the next time you shower and see the difference for yourself with Olay Retinol Body Wash for visibly renewed skin in just 14 days. And try Olay Retinol 24 Body Lotion.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Eh, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This is it. Shop the Lowe's closeout event to get up to 70% off select major appliances for your home. Plus, get up to 60% off select patio furniture and accessories for your outdoor spaces. So hurry into your local store today, because these deals are too good to last. Shop them now before they're gone, because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 8/7 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
This segment is brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort. Go to blackdesertresort.com to find out information, everything you need about the upcoming PGA Tour event and booking tee times at the new Tom Weisskopf Championship design, blackdesertresort.com. Exclusive real estate opportunities there. blackdesertevents.com for tickets, hospitality, pro-am opportunities, sponsorship, volunteer, all that. blackdesertevents.com. PGA Tour, FedEx Cup fall event coming October 10th. Check it out at blackdesertevents.com. And thanks again for joining us here. You know, we've talked so much about Keegan Bradley and this Ryder Cup, and we'll continue to talk more about it. I've got some more thoughts, but I want to flip our attention, because coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to be hearing from Todd Hamilton, who won at Troon in 2004. Shocked the world, Bob.
Yes.
Ernie Els was on top of his game, and he loses to Todd in a four-hole or three-hole?
Four-hole aggregate. Todd Hamilton scored a 4, a 4, a 3, and a 4, and Ernie Els scored all fours, and Todd Hamilton beat him in that four-hole aggregate by a shot.
That's unreal that he was able to win that. So let's look back at Troon. It's kind of been American dominance. If you take out Stenson, who won last time in 2016, and then Bobby Locke in 1950, in between there, you have six Americans that won consecutively. Arnold Palmer in 62, Tom Weisskopf in 73, Tom Watson in 82, Mark Calcavecchia in 89, Justin Leonard in 97, and Todd Hamilton in 2004. Here's another kind of interesting thing. You throw out Stenson and Locke at 20 under for Stenson and even for Locke, and you got Arnold Palmer won at 12 under, Weisskopf won at 12 under, Calc won at 13 under, Leonard won at 12 under, and Hamilton won at 10 under. Now there's the Watson won at 4 under par. So you got the 20 and you got the even. And then other than that, you got Watson in 82. But everybody else was between 10 and 13 under par, which is with three of them being the exact number, Palmer, Weisskopf, and Leonard at 12 under. That's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. So it promotes some really good scoring, especially in those middle years of those guys and what they were able to shoot, you know, in the 8 to 12 under range, which is what we see a lot of times in major championships. But that anomaly year was there was no weather, period, 100%. And those guys absolutely tore the thing up. But, yeah, they won by 14 shots over third place, and he was at 6 under par. So that even promotes that idea even more of 8 to 12 under par, somewhere around in there. And I think that's probably what it will be. It's going to be a golf course that's going to play tough. It's got some long holes. It's got some long par threes, especially the 17th is quite a long par three coming down the stretch. You look at the last couple of holes, 242 yards. That 17th hole is called the Rabbit. And then you've got the Craig End at the end at 458 yards. So those last two holes are going to play key here in this championship.
And yet the eighth hole is the postage stamp, which is just a little wedge to a tiny little green with all kinds of trouble if you miss off to the side. So speaking of Black Desert Resort, the 17th hole at Black Desert was inspired by the postage stamp. Where because Weisskopf was the designer, Weisskopf won there in 73. So yeah, pretty neat stuff. It's a short par three with a cool green with lots of trouble surrounding it. So I love short par threes. I love them. I think to me, if you can design an interesting and creative and challenging short par three, that is so much better architecture than just making a long par three. Anyone can back it up and make it hard because it's long. But what can you do with a short par three? To me, that's some really good design. And so I love the postage stamp. I love watching these guys navigate this. You know, you see it at what hole is it at St. Andrews? It's right around the turn. Is it 9? 10? There's a short par three right there. That 11, 9, 8, 9, 8, somewhere.
It's in the loop.
Yeah, it's right in that loop.
They're in that loop. Yeah.
And I just love that kind of stuff. You know, Pebble Beach, the 7th hole. How do you navigate that? Now, obviously, you got elements coming off the ocean there. But to me, you get a short par. Obviously, Amen Corner, the most notable.
Yep.
You know, number 12. The 12th is a short par three with all kinds of challenge and issues there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Really interesting to note that it's a collection of bombers and non-bombers that can win on this golf course. You know, Stenson went around with a 3-wood last time and shot 20 under par. You know, obviously Hamilton, Leonard, Calc, Watson, none of those guys bombers. Weisskopf and Palmer, they're kind of bombers. But, it should be fun to watch. Americans have won 6 straight major championships. That's pretty amazing stuff. Most recently, Bryson DeChambeau. How will he play? What about Rory McIlroy? Can he bounce back? We'll talk about all that as we continue here.
Scotty Scheffler, especially not having played the week before.
Oh, you got to mention Scotty. Yeah, number one player in the world. Heck of a year. Todd Hamilton interview coming up next. America's favorite caddy as we continue looking forward to next week's 152nd Open Championship right here on Real Golf Radio.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. Looking forward to the Open Championship next week. 20 years ago at Royal Troon, Todd Hamilton surprised everybody, including Ernie Els, and beat Ernie in a playoff to hoist the claret jug. His second win in his rookie campaign in 2004. Good friends with Bob Casper, and we had the chance to interview Todd the week after he won the claret jug. We dug back in the archives. The audio is a little sketch, but it's fun to look back on this and to listen. In our 25th year of doing Real Golf Radio, here's one for you, our conversation with the champion golfer of the year in 2004.
As we mentioned, our featured guest today is a 13-time winner around the world, including two wins on the PGA Tour this year as a rookie and the champion golfer of the year. Todd Hamilton joins us once again. Todd, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. That's got a pretty good ring to it, the champion golfer of the year.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, that's unbelievable. I mean, we had you on, you know, I know you were on Leno and Letterman and all these guys, but, hey, those guys didn't have you on after you won the Honda. I mean, before the Honda, you know. Real Golf Radio had you covered, Todd, before you even got out there winning the Honda and now the British Open.
Yeah, you really know who your true friends are, don't you?
Hey, you know, Todd, speaking of Leno, I saw you on there the other night after we talked on the phone. Man, they had you outside hitting produce with a wedge. Which was messier, the egg, the tomato, or the lettuce?
The tomato probably had the most mess. I got some tomato juice in my eye, and I actually took a flight home right after that, woke up the next morning, and still had seeds in my hair that I didn't realize I had.
Very nice.
Wacky stuff.
Yeah, you've been in a whirlwind ever since this thing happened last week. So the question is, where's the claret jug right now?
Actually, I went out with some friends last night. My wife had a couple of her friends. They went, we each went separate ways, and I left it out in the car, so it's out in the garage
right now. It's out in the car.
Yeah.
So is it, you know, when Rich Beam won, there was always that commercial on ESPN. He's riding there in his convertible. It's strapped into the passenger seat. And
the PGA?
Yeah, what did I say? He won the PGA.
Yeah.
And he had a strap there, and then what was it? The guy who climbs out of the trunk, you know, thanks for the
Scott
ride.
Van Pelt.
Yeah, like Scott Van Pelt, exactly.
6'8", climbs out of the trunk of a car that he can barely fit in.
So is it in the passenger seat then?
No, it's actually in the very back.
There you go. Hey, You seemed steely calm all week, Todd, including that four-hole playoff with arguably the world's best golfer, Ernie Els. Tell us about your mindset all throughout that week of the British Open.
I actually felt pretty good. My practice session seemed to be going well. I hadn't played well leading up to the tournament, but I had some good practice sessions. My back actually started hurting late Wednesday afternoon, which was my last practice session, so really didn't know what to expect. I was kind of hoping it wouldn't get any worse, which it didn't. It seemed like when I moved a certain way, it kind of made me cringe a little bit, but I just tried not to move that way. And it seemed as every day went by, I gained more and more confidence. Like I said, I hadn't played well leading up to that, and to finally see it making a couple good shots in a row, or you know, having some good nine-hole scores back-to-back, and then having two good rounds back-to-back, which I started off pretty good there last week, got me some confidence, and I actually felt very, very calm the last day.
So let me ask you a question about your caddy, Ron Levin. What type of success has he played or what role has he played in your success this year as well as maybe last week?
Yeah, well, I'm probably one of the easier guys to caddy for. If you can just, obviously you got to show up on time. That goes without saying. But if you just make sure my clubs are clean, we'd get along just fine.
Sure.
I do my own yardages. Ron also does them, so we double check. But he's been out there on various tours, whether it be the PGA Tour, Ladies Tour, Senior Tour. He's been in caddying for 17 years. So that wasn't his first trip.
Sure.
He really knows what's going on. He knows what to expect. He's been in. He hadn't actually won a tournament as a caddy until this year at the Honda, but he's been in quite a few playoffs, caddy for a lot of big names. So he knows what's expected of himself, and he knows what golfers need to carry them through emotionally or physically, carry them through the rounds. So he was a very big part, and if I could saw the trophy in half, I'd give him half of it right now.
I'm glad you brought that up, Todd Hamilton, joining us here on Real Golf Radio. You know, I'd heard you those comments that you made, if you could saw it in half. You know, of course, we can't cut the claret jug in half, but I did mention that you could cut the check in half.
He's getting a big chunk of it. He's not getting half. Of course, my wife legally will get half of it. He's going to get his 10%. So that leaves me with, what's that, 40%?
There
you
go.
You know, you got to win these big tournaments just to break even. You got to pay out all the cash to everyone else.
That's great.
So, Todd, let me ask you a question. Has winning a major championship, let alone the British Open, sunk in yet?
To be honest, no, it hasn't. There's one guy in particular I'm still waiting to see. He's been out of town. I play a lot of golf with this guy, a good friend of mine, Marty Rauschwerger. We kind of banter back and forth. He's a pretty good golfer, and when we go out and play, you know, he'll give me the needle. I'll give the needle back to him, and we have some good matches. Of course, I got to give him a lot of shots, but we have some good matches. And I think when he's able to see me with the trophy, maybe take it out on the golf course and strut it around in front of some of the other friends I play with, I think maybe then it'll start sitting in. But as of right now, no, it has not. I don't think the win, or at least I hope it won't change me. I feel I'm a pretty grounded person. I've played golf for 17 years as a professional. You know, I'll be 39 years old in October, so I don't think it's going to change me. And the friends that I hang around, I'm pretty sure will not let it change me. If they see me getting a little big-headed, they'll definitely pound me back down to size.
And what are
it really hadn't sunk in yet, to answer your question.
And what are friends for, keeping you grounded? Playing all those years in Japan, winning four times last year, did winning the Open Championship seem like a possible goal for you?
You know, my main goal coming into the year was to get my PGA Tour card. Mm-hmm. I tied for 16th there, but it almost seemed like I'd won a major tournament. Obviously, it didn't happen. But to get my tour card, I had tried. That was my eighth try as far as achieving my goal of getting the tour card.
Wow.
And I really felt although I could have played golf the rest of my life in Japan and been pretty content and probably made a nice living, I would have been a little disappointed had I never gotten on the PGA Tour. So I think that getting my tour card allowed all this crazy stuff, the Honda win and the Open Championship win, to happen. It really relieved a lot of pressure that I'd put on myself. I'm probably my harshest critic. I don't mind people giving me a hard time about not playing well, because I'll do and say just two times is better or two times is worse, putting the pressure on myself. So getting my tour card probably was what allowed all this other stuff to happen.
Todd Hamilton, our guest right here on Real Golf Radio, the champion golfer of the year. And everybody, of course, as we mentioned, Letterman, Leno, everybody's celebrating with you at this point. But talking about those years playing in Japan, leaving your family for long periods of time and going through the grind that a lot of tour pros get to that never quite reach the pinnacle that you have achieved. How difficult, can you just explain and let everybody understand, how difficult was it to get to this point where you are right now?
Looking back, it seems like it was a real tough journey, but I was doing something that I like to do. Basically, that's all I really know how to do is play golf. I mean, I could go sack groceries with the best of them. I did as a kid at my dad's grocery store, but I really enjoyed playing golf. Fortunate I'm able to do something that I like to do. So even though there were some stretches of bad golf and a lot of hard times, in a strange way, it was kind of fun to struggle, feel myself struggle, feel the emotions that went along with that, and then to pick myself up and do well. I'm not a guy that enjoys a lot of help, whether it be a caddy giving me yardages or having a guy teach me how to swing the golf club.
Sure.
I enjoy figuring things out on my own. It might take me two times as long to do it, but I like the satisfaction of knowing that I persevered and got through a difficult time and found the right swing key or the right answer to a crossword puzzle, whatever it was.
So, sure.
In a roundabout way, I'm kind of glad that I did have to struggle, and I think it all seems really neat now.
Hey, you've moved to 16th in the world rankings, 15th in Ryder Cup points. Could you cap off an unbelievable year with a Ryder Cup appearance?
I wouldn't say it's maybe a little far-fetched. I'm only going to play two tournaments before they choose the team.
Sure.
I'd have to obviously play well in those. I'm not sure how many points I would need to move up into the top 10. If I did, that'd be great. I'm not... it's not really a goal. I'm obviously going to try to do my best in the two tournaments and see what happens. But if I don't, I think we'll have a great team no matter what.
Have you had a chance to talk to the captain, Hal Sutton, at all?
You know, I had a chance to play with him back at the Colonial. Obviously wasn't in the position back then that I am now.
Right.
I haven't really talked to him at all, no, about the team situation at all.
Interesting. Todd Hamilton, our guest on Real Golf Radio. We had a chance to chat with you at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, and you're kind enough to invite us for a little walk during a practice round, and we walked through that golf course. We asked you how you like it. You weren't necessarily high on Shinnecock at the time, and you missed the cut. How different was Royal Troon's setup versus in the Open Championship versus Shinnecock, and how it was in the U.S. Open Championship?
Yeah, it seemed I enjoyed the Shinnecock golf course itself. It seemed like the setup was very contrived, almost like it was a plastic thing. The Royal Troon golf course was more natural. The rough was kind of spotty in certain areas. The ground was very firm, not quite as firm as what we saw at Shinnecock. Greens were receptive. Somewhat slow, probably slower than what we're used to on the PGA Tour, but it seemed very natural. They didn't go out of their way to trick it up or set it up more difficult than maybe the members would play it. I think the USGA maybe wishes they could have done something different or some things different at the US Open. In the end, they did end up getting a great champion out of it.
Sure.
But I think a lot of players left there with kind of a sour taste in their mouth. I've heard nothing but good things about the way the Royal Troon Golf Course was set up for the Open Championship. So I think you saw one that was kind of a contrived setup, and one was a natural setup. And I hope that both parties, especially the USGA, maybe can learn from a mistake or two that they made, and hopefully we don't see anything like that again. That was pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Actually missed the cut, as you said. Came home Saturday evening, got up and watched the golf on Sunday, and I had to turn it off because it wasn't any fun watching it. And I enjoy watching golf,
sure,
like some players.
You know, and along with walking with you that day, one of the things we saw you do was use that Sonar Tech utility club quite a bit, and that really came in handy last week, didn't it?
Yeah, I think I probably used that for tee shots and chipping. Tee shots, I probably used it, I don't know, four times a day. And probably for the whole week, I'm going to guess I used it 12, 13 times for chipping around the greens. And I can only remember one time that I used it, but I did not get it up and down, and I missed about a 6 or 7 foot putt in that instance. So for me, it was a very versatile club. The fairways were running out, so you really didn't need to hit a lot of drivers. As long as you could get it in the short grass, in the fairway, the firmness of the fairways would give you some extra yardage, so you didn't need to hit a lot of drivers. You really had to play position golf, and that club probably won the tournament for me along with my putting.
And you had the Fujikura 757 shaft in there as well. And we had Pete Sanchez, Fujikura, on in the hour number one. And he talked about how excited he was for you to win as well.
Yeah, I've been using the Fujikura shaft in my clubs for quite a long time. It's a good fit for me, the shaft I have in there, the driver and the utility club. I don't see any reason to change. So looking forward to having greater success with it in the clubs.
Absolutely. Hey, Todd Hamilton, thanks so much for your time. Do you feel any different now that you're a major champion winner, and do you think there's maybe some more majors in there for Todd Hamilton?
I hope so. It was a great feeling. I'd love to have that feeling again. I'm sure it may not happen right away, but I hope I have it. I don't feel any different. Actually getting anxious to get back out on the road and play golf again. I played yesterday for the first time in since Sunday, since I held the putt to win the tournament. So I was going a little stir-crazy, and I'm looking forward to get backing out on tour.
Well, enjoy the moment. You definitely earned it, and you deserve it. Congratulations from Real Golf Radio, and we look forward to having you on again.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, Todd.
All right, that was Todd Hamilton. All the way back in 2004, the week after he won the Claret Jug, dipping into the archives here on Real Golf Radio. 25 years of doing the show. That was a fun one. Hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned. More of the show next.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back. It's Real Golf Radio with America's favorite caddy.
There are bag rats. And then there are caddies.
Maybe.
Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper,
here he is, the caddy on Real Golf Radio.
Yeah, caddy joins us each and every week right here on Real Golf Radio. So a little quick story to start this out, caddy. I was with a friend of mine, client, and we were up fishing with a guide in a drift boat, and a little way down the river, he says, "Hey, wait a minute, I know who you are. You do that golf show." And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I love the caddy." Just like that. He's like, "I'm up early driving to the river. I flip on your show and listen to the caddy. He's great." So there you go.
Everybody loves the caddy.
You got a fan in the fishing guide world.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ego just pumped up a little bigger than it needs to be now.
We like to butter you up so that we get your best stuff.
Well, you know the trauma associated with the fishing, so I'll just try to maintain my composure and see what happens.
Oh my.
You know what? You should try going with a guide sometime and stay safely in the boat. You'll be all
right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, my dad and I used to go down to the San Juan under the reservoir and down there in New Mexico, and you'd float on a dory or float on a boat, and it was amazing. Oh, what a great place to fish. It was awesome.
Legendary. The San Juan Shuffle was born there. You may or may not know what that is. I'll get real nerdy for everybody out there, but basically somebody that's standing upriver from where you're fishing kind of shuffles his feet around and mixes that bottom up and starts kicking up a bunch of bugs basically that start floating down the river. It's like chumming basically for fly fishing. And they actually quote unquote outlawed it there for a while, but that was known as the San Juan Shuffle. You just kind of
How would they police that? Come on.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. You know how fly fishing is, Bob. People are funny about stuff. So
that's right.
Anywho, let's not get too distracted by that one. Caddy, what if I told you that it's been 25 years since Jean Vandeveld at Carnoustie? 25. That's wild or what?
Yeah, it's so along those lines. I played golf with a college teammate of mine, and when we met up there on the first tee, I said, we haven't played. The last time we played golf was 37 years ago. I said, if we were back in high school and we were junior golfers, that'd be the equivalent of saying we haven't played golf since World War II. And I was that's just wrong. That's just wrong. Oh, man.
It's been a while.
Yep.
So
it's been a while.
Vandeveld, is Vandeveld, I mean, where would you put that in the archive of Open Championship lore? I mean, it's for a guy that didn't win, he's as memorable as, probably more memorable than some of the winners.
It's in a unique category. There aren't many in it. Greg Norman's in this category. Vandeveld's in this category. It's the category of, yeah, you do remember who finished second in a few of them.
Vandeveldian and Norman-esque. Those became terms.
Yeah, that was, that was, oh, that was amazing. Yeah.
Were you caddying for that open?
Did I caddy Carnoustie? Yes. I worked for Len Matisse that week. And Carnoustie, that was close to the toughest course I've ever caddied. That set up
the
that
nasty.
It was impossible. The rough was so bad. Oh, it was so high and thick. I remember there's a layup area on 6, the par 5. That's the famous hole that Hogan drove it between the OB fence on the left and the bunker each day. And it's really, really tight there. Most people go to the right and lay up. Anyway, the layup area there on 6 at one point was 6 paces wide, and it wasn't flat. Yeah, it was impossible. We were going down the 10th hole, and Lenny was one shot ahead of Paul Lowry at that time on Sunday. He was ahead of the eventual winner. And I had a good friend who was a courtesy car driver, and she had told me about the 12th hole and how dangerous it was and all this kind of stuff. And don't hit it left on 12. And Len hit it left on 12, and I looked over. He's in the rough, and I looked over. She was following us, and she's just shaking her head. And he made triple.
Oh no!
Your driver got in your head, Caddy. I love that story. That's one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, she knew her stuff. She was a good. She's actually a member at Tarun. Tarun had a men's clubhouse and a women's clubhouse. And I bet they still do. Why wouldn't they? Mm. But it was, Scotland's, Scotland was old school, man. Scotland was really old school. There's that famous spot. Yeah.
You've been around Troon before on the bag?
I didn't caddy there, but I played there in October one time. It was about 39 degrees. It wasn't windy, maybe just a little. This is in October, and I'm thinking, oh, this is nice. There's not going to be anybody out there. Yeah, this is Scotland. It was packed with the members. They're like, what a beautiful day. Let's go. It's only 39 and it's sunny. Let's tee it up.
Is that kind of like, Scotland? That's Scotland's equivalent of, well, there's no humidity. It's a dry heat over here, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Troon's good. I like it. It's Troon's really good. I'd highly advise playing there if you get the chance. Tadoon.
That's how it's pronounced, huh?
That's Scott Hamilton's. I mean, Scott Hamilton. Todd Hamilton's place.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a note. If you go to Troon, I know I took a picture of it. I don't know where it is. You walk in the clubhouse and they've got a note, a little thank you note written to the club, signed Todd Hamilton. It looks like a 3-year-old wrote it. He has the worst penmanship of any adult I've ever seen. It's comical. I took a photo of it and texted it to him. I said, what is this? Did your son write this? I mean, are you kidding me? It's pretty funny. It's right there in the, little trophy case area, man.
Interesting. So you got Stenson outdoing Mickelson. We were talking to Jeff Babineau in hour number one. This is pretty remarkable when you think the last time it was played, 2016. Stenson finished with 63. Phil opened with 63. And it was Stenson got to 20 under. Mickelson was 3 back at 17 under. J.B. Holmes finished 3rd at 6. 14 shots back. I mean, that's 11 shot difference between second and third. So it really was a separation there between Stenson and Mickelson. Pretty remarkable stuff. And I think that year too, very little wind. And as you kind of pointed out, that's the big defense of that golf course, of all those links golf courses.
It was, that was kind of like that famous Turnberry, Jack Nicklaus, Watson duel in the sun. Third place that week was also, it was either Hubert Green or Crenshaw who finished 3rd that week, and they were also many, many shots back. I don't think they were as many as JB though. 14 shots back a third. That's got to be all time for two guys. We know Tiger's won by 15, right?
Yeah,
I think he won the U.S. Open by 15. But two guys to be there, yeah, that's a crazy week. Hardest hole in golf. Possibly the hardest hole in golf, the 11th hole at Troon. Possibly really? The toughest hole. Yep.
Do tell.
Yeah.
Yep. Watch out for 11 this week. Someone will make a huge number.
That's the railway. Sure.
The railway? Yep,
it's called the railway. And it's par 4, 498 yards.
Woo.
Blind shot, bumpy fairway, wall down the right side that gets right next to the green that's out of bounds, and a perfectly placed front left bunker. It's brutal. That hole's so hard. It'll get your attention.
Is that the best part about Lynx golf, is the names of every hole? I mean, it's pretty good,
right?
Some
people would argue. I don't know. I mean, one thing about Lynx golf, if you haven't been over there to play, Ireland has great Lynx golf, Scotland, obviously. England's got some good links golf. You got to do it. You got to do it. It's so much different. It's so much fun. Oh, just love it. Love it.
I mean, the trip. It feels like the iconic hole there is 8, right? 120. What does it play? It's a short par 3, the postage stamp green.
The stamp. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. A little downhill wedge shot, and much more difficult than its similar hole 7 at Pebble. Much more difficult, because when it plays easy, it's still really hard. 7 at Pebble, if it's not windy, it's really not that bad at all, right? But boy, you know, it can get brutal in the wind. But the postage stamp, oh, you just can't, you miss that green and it's just brutal.
It's beautiful.
Little narrow green.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
So, yep. So, Caddy, what are you thinking? You know, the U.S. guys, except for Henrik Stenson, the last winner, U.S. guys, you know, Hamilton and Kalkovecchia and Justin Leonard. Who do you think is going to have a shot?
Well, yes.
Prognosticate for us.
I was unprepared for this. Who would have picked anybody pick Brian Harman last year?
No. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I didn't.
Didn't.
I'm gonna rest.
You
on,
picked Keegan
I'm
Bradley. Gonna, that's who you,
huh?
That's who you picked. You pick Keegan Bradley. That's who you picked.
Yeah, I'm gonna rest on my laurels there. If I'm gonna do the George Costanza and just go out on a high note.
Okay. Who do I like at Tadoon? Boy, it's such a hard tournament to pick on because the tee times and the weather can just change everything, more so than any other tournament anywhere else. It's just it's a tough one to call. I'm going to say, so we have.
I mean, Aberg's playing good. You're right. I mean, he's a guy you got to kind of like.
Let's go with Oberg gets his first big one.
Bob, who, did you pick him in the beginning of the year? Was he your pick for the beginning of the year? I don't remember where we were at on our major picks, but
I don't either. No, I think I said it was, I don't even remember.
We'll have to pull that up.
Yep.
What about Bryson? You like Bryson for this golf course?
Gosh, I don't know about that one there. I think.
By the way, last year Bob picked Scheffler. I picked Fleetwood. So how'd that turn out?
Yeah,
not very good.
I don't know about Bryson at Troon. I like the, you know, he hits kind of a good. Even though he hits the ball high, it's so powerful with that draw. That's a good, probably a decent shot to play when it gets windy. And he has no problem with the wind living where he does in Texas since college. So he might be a decent pick there. I mean, he's, you know, look at his performance in the majors this year. I mean, just right there, every one. Pretty awesome. You certainly wouldn't expect to, expect him to have a bad week. So.
How about a bounce back for Rory?
Yeah. I think it's pretty important that he got off to a good start at the Scottish for the frame of mind. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. I'm going to make the early Rory Masters call next year. How about that?
Whoa. Well, Bob's already got you beat because he's going to pick Rory at the Masters until he wins one. So
yeah. And I'm
going
to pick Spieth at the PGA until he wins one.
He wants salami. That's what he wants. He wants those slams.
That's what I do.
Get some slams, baby.
Grand salami.
Caddy, you're the best. By the way, before we go, what do you think? What'd you think of that Keegan pick, by the way, or that Keegan announcement?
Oh, I knew it was coming.
Oh, right.
Didn't everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was, didn't surprise anybody, did it? I mean, that was amazing. And it sounded like they called him up and just kind of said, hey, you're the Ryder Cup captain. Congratulations.
He had no interview, no nothing.
Yeah, I think he'll be a great Ryder Cup captain. I just think he'll be a great one. So if you wanted someone who's going to be emotionally into it, it's kind of home-ish for him. You know, he's a Boston guy, but he's a New England guy. Sorry, not Boston. He's a New England guy, but went to school at St. John's right down the road and played there a bunch. And I like the story of him. Craig Currier was the superintendent there. What a good guy. He's a good guy. And he used to let the St. John's team play the the inside loop of the course. And then they finally, did you see the story where they finally decided to go across the road and play 15 through 18?
Yep.
And got in all kinds of trouble. You got a little bit. Yeah, we should have a special on sneak-on stories. There's some good golf course sneak-on stories.
Let's do it. I like that. Coming to a show near you. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Keegan Bradley.
Let me ask you this, Caddy. You said I think he'll be a great Ryder Cup captain. What makes a great Ryder Cup captain?
Probably the guys who play well and win for him.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Kind of like what makes a great caddy. It's easy to look back and kind of the standard lately for the U.S. captains would be probably Paul Azinger, right? Cause we hadn't won for a while and he did the pods thing. He kind of upped the level of doing things proactively and doing interesting things back then at Valhalla with the pods. So I just think Keegan will be, I don't know. There's something about his attitude. I like it. I like the fit for Bethpage. I just think everybody's going to get behind him. That's if you believe the crowd, the home crowd is a big deal. That's the number one place to have it in the country for the crowd getting vocal and getting into it. I think a place that's close to equaling that is Hazeltine.
Yeah.
They're crazy in Minnesota for their golf. They're just crazy for it. That's the enthusiastic place to hold an event, really. It's great. I love going to Hazeltine for events. It's awesome. But yeah, Bethpage will be crazy. You better have your armor on if you're European.
Especially if you're European, for sure. Caddy, good stuff as always, man. Enjoy the Open next week. It'll be halfway through when we talk, and look forward to it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
There you go. That's the caddy right here on Real Golf Radio. All right, Bob, we got a 1 minute left. Time for predictions. All right, what you got, buddy?
Well, I got two that I'm thinking of right now, and both of them are playing this week in the Scottish Open. Colin Morikawa has played some really good golf this year. He's only played it three times, won in his first try at the Open Championship, but missed the last two cuts. But he's playing, I think his game is a little bit better now after a couple of years where it kind of struggled. So I think I'm going to pick Colin Morikawa.
All right, I like that. Who was your other one you just wanted to throw out there?
Rory.
Okay, all right. Well, that's what I'm going to go with because I'm calling it a bounce back. You know, we saw him with a heartbreaking loss at the Masters in 2011, turned around and won the U.S. Open. How about a heartbreaking loss at the U.S. Open? He turned around and hoists the second claret jug. He's played in 14 Open Championships. He's made 12 cuts with 7 top 10s. If you look at the last 8 he's played, 5 have been top 6 finishes for Rory McIlroy, including the 150th at St. Andrews that he should have won. Again, he's got a lot of should-haves. He needs to break through that major ceiling once again. As we know, it's been 10 years since he last did that. That would open the door for your prediction for a green jacket come April. Thanks to Dave Glauser, our producer. Thanks to all those who joined us today. Hope you enjoyed the show. You can catch us at Real Golf on X, and we'll be talking to you next week, Open Championship edition. For Bob Casper, I'm Brian Taylor. We'll see you next week right here on Real Golf Radio.
Thank you for listening to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper. Follow us on Twitter at Real Golf. And join us every week on the Real Golf Radio Network.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America,
America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.